It's time now for Changing Australia. Louise Plemming was just six when she started playing tennis. But out in the country, with no one but her siblings to play against, her main opponent was a wall. Louise would go on to play at major opens, win doubles titles, train elite players such as Jelena Dokic, and become a Grand Slam commentator. But another major point in her life came in a kitchen, serving food to people experiencing homelessness. For Louise, it was an experience that would see her create a new way forward with tennis, using it to connect people from all walks of life, to break down barriers and to improve mental well-being. Louise Plemming is the co-founder of Rally Forever, and I'm very pleased to say is my guest this morning on Changing Australia. Louise, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Sally.
So you grew up on a farm in New South Wales. It's not always easy if you want to go ahead with sport and your way out back somewhere. How important was the wall for you in your training and to get all this tennis energy out of you?
Yeah, look, I think the wall was a big part of it, but realising that Yvonne Goolagong just lived down the road and she was doing incredible things winning Wimbledon, I think was the real stimulus. And, the fact that her coaches, Vic Edwards, would travel around country areas and really give young regional kids an opportunity to play tennis.
When was the first time that you realised that this might be something quite significant for you, tennis? Or was it a comment from any of the grown-ups? When did you know this might be something for you?
Yeah, that's really funny, because it actually was the very first time I kind of walked onto a tennis court with a coach. I remember I was playing with a whole bunch of other, you know, youngsters, little kids, and I got to hit with the coach, and I hit 60 balls over the net, and the coach, he stopped and he looked at me, and I was six. I must have been just paddling the ball so soft and whatever, and he goes, "I've never seen anyone do that except for Yvonne." And I went, "Well, who is she?" But I got to know who she was, and I realised that, you know, when you're a young kid and someone says to you, you can do something, it stays with you, and it's a real stimulus in your life.
Mm. Is there much tennis skill in the family? Did mum and dad play tennis, grandma, grandpa?
Not really, no. Dad was a great cricketer and a great footballer, and the rest of the family played a little bit of tennis, but really, no, it was just really kind of, I guess, attaching myself to that thought that, oh, tennis, it looks like a great sport. And then watching Yvonne, and that just grew inside of me.
By the time you were 16, so only 10 years on from this six-year-old who's hitting 60 balls across over the net, tennis had consumed much of your life. You were travelling the world and playing competitive matches. What was it like to still be very young at 16 but be thrown into that world?
Yeah, it was, you know, back then you had to find a way. You know, you didn't have money. We didn't have coaches travelling with us. We were on our own. And I left Australia when I was just 16 by myself. I went over with Justine Brown, my doubles partner, and she didn't end up staying that long. But, my mum flew down from Wagga, gave me $100 and said, good luck. You know, hope it all goes really well. And don't lose your wallet, don't lose your money. And I did that on the flight over. I realised I'd left my wallet on the flight, on the Alitalia flight, got to the hotel and then had to find my way back to try to get that wallet. But they're the challenges. And so for a year I travelled on my own over in Europe and going from tournament to tournament, learning the craft and asking, you know, you'd get to a tournament and you'd ask someone to play doubles with you. And that's how you kind of started back then. No entourages, no coaches, no family, friends travelling with you. You just had to make it on your own. And I think that was a test of, you know, how to create resilience, I guess.
At 16, I mean, a lot of young people are still trying to figure out who they are. What was it? Were there any words from mum and dad or, you know, values from your family that helped anchor you about who you were and where you were from?
Yeah, look, my father was always a very fair kind of guy and a very honest guy, and very much about community. And I remember, you know, when I would come home from a tour or from playing a tennis tournament, the first thing he would ask me was not necessarily whether I'd won the match or whether I, you know, was winning tournaments, but was I fair? And that always stuck with me, just to make sure that you have good values and that you are doing the right thing when you play a sport, that you in a way, you are a bit of a role model for other people, and that stuck with me.
It sounds like that's been quite a through line for you. You had your own playing career, coaching, commentating as well, but about a decade ago, you and your partner decided you wanted to give back, and you were helping out in a kitchen feeding people experiencing homelessness, and you were approached by a bloke named Brian. Can you tell me what happened, Louise?
Yeah, look, that was an interesting moment. Basically, I'd handed over a plate of food to this gentleman, and he looked at me and he was like, "Hey, well, what are you doing here?" And I said, What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, why aren't you on the bloody tennis court?" And I went, "Oh," I said, "you know something about tennis." And he said, "Well, come and have a chat with me at the end of lunch." So I went down, and here was Brian. He's got a few tats and a couple of teeth missing, and he opens up this black bag. He opens up the zipper, and there was two beautiful Jimmy Connors 1970, the R2000s, and three tennis balls. And he said, I hit on the tennis wall. I got no one to play with." He said, "Would you have a hit with me?" And I'm like, "I'd love to have a hit with you, mate. That'd be great. Give me your phone, and I'll give you a call next week." And he goes, "Well, I haven't got a phone." He said, "And I live in the bushes down there next to Rushcutters Bay Tennis Court. I'll meet you at 6 o'clock next Monday morning." And I was like, "Oh, that's a bit early. What about seven? Let's make it seven." And I wake up, and it's the biggest storm in Sydney. And I'm like, "There's no way this guy is going to be there." I drive down, and here's Brian on the tennis court with his racket, pouring rain, with his three balls. And I said, "Hey, Brian, let's go and have breakfast, and then we'll play tennis." And so 3 hours later, I hear his story of being in, you know, mental hospitals and jail, and his path, but his true love, that he wanted to be a tennis player, and that got shut down because of his mental health. And I played with him for this hour, and he was chipping and charging like Ken Rosewell and Rod Laver, and I was having the best time. And I just, like, this is fun. I was kind of pinching myself. And at the end of the session, I said, "Well, gosh, that was so nice. Lovely to meet you, Brian. Yeah, good luck, and see you later." And he looked at me, and he said, "What time tomorrow?" And I went, "Oh, my gosh, here we go." And we did that for 6 months whenever I was in town. And Brian became my very first tennis coach. I put him through a tennis coaching course, and we started Rally Forever.
So tell me about a Rally Forever. How does it work?
So we have about 55 programs nationally, and it's a one-hour program each week, 40 weeks of the year. We try to run them. We don't run them in school holidays because that clashes with clubs. But, yeah, they're just free tennis programs, and we now have pickleball programs. And it's really to connect people in the community. You know, we have programs all around for different kind of groups, but our program, which is the pilot one at Woolloomooloo, I mean, I might have doctors and lawyers and, you know, a judge playing with someone who's got serious mental health issues, could be someone experiencing homelessness. You know, someone might, you know, step out of a Tesla car, and the other person might roll off a bench. And when we walk on the court, we're all equal. And then we go and have coffee, tea, and we connect. And everyone is just a person that plays tennis. There's no judgment. And that's what happens all around Australia. We invite people who may be just feeling a little lost, disconnected, maybe someone that's lost their confidence, had played tennis when they were 12, never played again. They might be in their 40s, 50s, 60s. They might be 20. We have young people that have had breakdowns and have nowhere to go. It's incredibly sad to see a young person that has got a stigma on their shoulders, and they lose their friends, and this is a safe place for them to come, meet people, play tennis, and just see them laugh.
I'm wondering what it's like when you see people who, if they were walking down the street, someone might think, "Oh, that guy's homeless," or, you know, make judgments about people. But someone like Brian was sitting on this most exquisite secret, in that he had this love of tennis and this enormous skill and talent. What do you see when people are seen more fully, not just for their current circumstances, but who they are, what they can do?
Oh, it's so empowering. And I've been so lucky to be a part of a lot of people's journeys. I mean, Brian was able to walk down King's Cross with his racket over his shoulder and people would say, "G'day, Brian." They'd seen the Australian story and he was now a tennis coach. And to see this guy shine and bounce around, and for 3 years he was incredible. He coached people with, you know, liked kind of situations in their life. But throughout our program, I have another homeless guy that now coaches for us. We've got a guy that was in Salvation Army emergency care down in Melbourne. He coaches for us. Another young guy was facing, you know, suicidal thoughts. He coaches now 5 times a week for us. Another guy that was an addict. I mean, to see people just feeling like they have a sense of purpose and feeling like there's somebody that can contribute, that is what really makes me so happy and proud to see people back in the community being valued. It's really important.
It's a fantastic story. It sounds like the words of your dad have stayed with you about that sense of fairness and giving something back. Louise, it's been such a pleasure to have you on Changing Australia. Good luck with your further work, and it's been a delight to have you this morning.
Thank you so much, Sally. We, in Mental Health Month in October, we do have some fundraising events. Please jump onto our website. We need funding. We're philanthropic. We don't get Tennis Australia or the government funding. We don't want to burden anyone. We do need community support. And if anyone can out there see the value in what we do, we'd love to hear from you.
That's Louise Pleming, Grand Slam commentator, tennis coach and former professional player, and also the co-founder of this fantastic organisation known as Rally Forever.